Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachas Daf Nun Tes. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to Daf Nuntes at the top of the page, we notice a Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, let us glance at the topic heading that we provide in the outside margin of our Shas Ozer, the cornerstone of the Gemara markings. As every new sugya arrives, we attempt to provide a type of topic heading that we entitle Nosei, and in addition, when necessary, a Mivneh note. A Mivneh is a structure wherein we feature the role of the different geometric forms that appear as they come in each new appearance, each new sugya. In this case, we have the Nosei, the topic heading, Shemen Ulevoina, oil and the Levona spice. Ezo Menachos Boinon V'Ezo Lo, meal offerings, which menachos require shemen and or lavona, and which do not. So the Mishnah opens up with a list, and then the examples will follow. The Mishnah says, Yesh tu'unoi shemen lavona, there are those menachos that require shemen and lavona. There are those that require shemen velo lavona, just oil, and not lavona. A third example are those that are Lavona Velo Shemen. And a fourth example, Lo Lavona Velo Shemen. As you can see, we also provided numberings between or right above the each category. At this point, the Mishnah goes over each one of the categories, providing examples. The numbers that you see in circles correspond to the numbers that we just cited. So number one, V'elu Tunos Shemen Ulavona. And now a list follows. Minchas hasoilas, v'hamachvas, v'hamarcheshes, v'hachalois, v'horekikin, minchas kohanim, minchas kohen moshiach, minchas oived kichovim, minchas noshim, minchas ha'oimer. There are 10 examples of those kind of minochas that require shemen and lavona. The first few are minochas that we cite by name. There's the mincha soles. The machvas is a type of vessel in which the mincha is prepared, and likewise the marcheshes. Then there is a chalos, and a fifth example, rikikin. Sixth example are the minchas kohanim. That's a case where a kohen, as opposed to a regular member of Israel, a kohen volunteers to bring a mincha. When we say as opposed to a regular member of Klal Yisrael, that is because regular menachas have a different rule, a different method of dealing with them than the Minchas Kohanim. And the seventh example is the Minchas Kohen Moshiach. There's a daily offering called the Chavitin, which we've learned in previous Dapim in this Masechta, the Minchas Chavitin that's brought by the Kohen Gadol. Minchas Oved Kechavim, a Gentile meal offering, and a woman's meal offering, that's number 9, that's Minchas Noshim, and number 10, Minchas HaOmer, that's the special mincha, special meal offering that's brought on the 16th of Nisan. The next category, Minchas Nesachim, those are menachos that accompany many types of animal offerings. Teuna Shemen Ve'ein Teuna Lavona. Hence we call this number 2, as it reflects what was stated at the opening of the Mishnah, example number 2 or category 2, those that require oil alone without the addition of the spice, Lavona spice. Lechem Haponim Toun Lavona Ve'ein Toun Shemen. The Lechem Haponim, the 12 breads that sat from week to week, that were changed once a week, changed every Shabbos, those require lavona, and they don't have oil mixed in. Shtei halechem, uminchas chote, uminchas knos, these three types of menachos, Ein tunin lo shemen velo lavona. The shtei alechem were two loaves that were brought on Shavuos together with the kivsei atzeres. The minchas chote is a sinner's meal offering, and the minchas knos, that which a sota, a married woman suspected of immorality, she brings that type of mincha. They do not require not oil nor lavona. Omar Rav Papa, kol hecha disnan eser tnan. This is a rather cryptic opening or piece of Gemara, but Rashi explains it. In fact, Rashi provides two explanations. We will learn the first explanation in the Rashi. Kol hecha disnan hanoch minochos demastisin. We're reading in Rashi. Wherever you find these minochos mentioned in the Mishnah, eser tnan, 10 are taught. Klomar. Kulon bois eser chalos. All of them come in the form of 10 loaves. Kinamrinon be'elu menochos. So that in the first list of menochos, each one of them comes in the form of 10 loaves. That point is, as the Gemara goes on to say, lafuke midrabi Shimon. This is to the exclusion of the opinion of Rabbi Shimon de Omar. Rabbi Shimon, when he describes the Minchas Maife, he describes that as being made of part chalos and part rikikin. That's de Omar, Rabbi Shimon, who said, Mechza chalos u mechza rikikin yavi, one who accepts upon himself a Minchas Maife. According to Rabbi Shimon, he brings, it's made of five loaves of chalos and five loaves of rikikin. Komash malon deloi. Our Mishnah tells us that if one accepts upon himself a minchas maife, then he is to bring a mincha that's made of 10 loaves of either chalos or rikikin, not a combination of five and five. Continuing in the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. At this point, we have a Tanaic source. You can see it appears in a frame. The frame in our marking system indicates that that which is contained therein is a Tanaic source, sometimes a Brisa or a Mishnah that the Gemara quotes, and we frame it in order to distinguish it from the rest of the Gemara literature. The Gemara also, in our Mark Gemara, that is, we provide a topic heading here on the outside margin together with a structural note, the Nosei and Mivneh. In the Gemara text itself, you will notice a volcano form, a trapezoid that appears, and these are represented in the outside margin. They are Mi'utim, Viribui, points of exclusion and something that will be included, Hanil Modim, Mehaposuk Shomincha Sa'oimer. Things that are derived from darshaning the pasuk dealing with the Omer Mincha offering in Vayikra Beis Pasuk Tes Vav. This pasuk is featured also in the inside margin. We've written in the pasuk Vinosato Oleho Shemen. The Torah describes the Minchas Omer as something that you will place oil on it. Vesanto Oleho Levona. There are two different verbs. There's Vinosato Oleho Shemen and Vesanto Oleho Levona. The difference in those words will have significance in a Gemara later on. And the Pasuk says, Mincha hi. So in looking at that Pasuk, the Braiso now will darshan it. As we go on in the Braiso, let's just take a note of one more feature. We'll be underlining throughout this Braiso the quotes from the Pasuk. Being that we read the whole Pasuk, the quotes will be familiar. Tanu Rabbanan. Vinosato Oleh HaShemen. We pointed out that this is referring to the Minchas HaOmer, and the Pasuk says, you shall place upon it oil, V'lui Alechem HaPonim Shemen, to the exclusion of the Lechem HaPonim, the 12 breads that sat in the Hechal from week to week. They do not have oil. Now, the Brisa says, She'ochol. That means, without the Pasuk, I would have thought to the contrary. I would have thought that the Lechem HaPonim does get oil. Hence, I need the Pasuk to say, to clarify things, to state a point counter to what I would have thought otherwise. The Braisa goes on, Valo din hu. Is it not so that logic states, Uma minchas nesochim she'eno tu'uno levoino tu'uno shemen? The minchas nesochim is something that does not require levona, but does require shemen. Lechem aponim she'to'un levona, the lechem aponim that does have a levona requirement, eno din she'to'un shemen, then certainly should require oil. Mind you, something that does not have a levona requirement, but has a shemen requirement, then you can imagine something that has a Lavona requirement, then all the more so should have a Shemen requirement. Talmud Lomar, Oleho. Hence, our Pasuk in the Minchas Omer uses the word Oleho, which is an exclusionary expression, meaning Oleho Shemen, Veloi Alechem Haponim Shemen. On it, the Omer, there is oil, and not on the Lechem Haponim. The Pasuk goes on to say, Vesamto Oleho Lavona. Oleho Lavona, Veloi Al Minchas Nesochim Lavona. Once again, we just read through another volcano marking. This velo again is excluding what? Excluding the Minchas Nesochim from Lavona. Namely, the Omer has Lavona, the Minchas Nesochim does not get Lavona. Well, without the Pasuk, I would have thought otherwise. Sheyochol v'halo din hu. I would have thought as follows. Uma lechem aponim she'eno to'un shemen to'un Lavona. The lechem aponim does not have a oil addition or requirement, but does have Lavona. Minchas Nesochim Shetu'una Shemen Eino Din Shetu'una Lavona. The Minchas Nesochim that does require oil certainly should require this Lavona spice. Talmud Lomar Oleho. Hence, I need the Pasuk by the Omer that says Oleho, which tells me Oleho Lavona Velo Al Minchas Nesochim Lavona. On the Omer there is Lavona and not on the Minchas Nesochim. The Pasuk used the word mincha. The second to last word was mincha, and it said mincha hi. So the word mincha, l'rabois minchas shmini l'lavona. This comes to include the mincha that was brought at the day of the Mishkan dedication. The Parsha in Sefer Vayikra, Parsha Shmini, Vayhi Bayom HaShmini, a number of special sacrifices were brought, included in which was a meal offering. That meal offering is termed Minchas Shmini. We'll have to say, in anticipation of Gemara later on, a one-time-in-history korban, because the Mishkan was dedicated only once on the first day of Nisan. That mincha has a Lavona requirement. And that's because the Pasuk by the Omer says mincha, which includes this other mincha, the mincha, that special occasion mincha of the dedication of the Mishkan. He, also from our Omer Pasuk, is an exclusionary expression, lahoitzi shtei alechem, this comes to exclude the shtei alechem, shelo yit'anu lo shemen velo Lavona. So in this Pasuk, the Omer Pasuk had references to a number of other Menachas. At the beginning, we darshan to exclude Lechem Aponim from an aspect. We went on to exclude Minchas Nesachim. We included the Minchas Shmini. And finally, we excluded the Shtei HaLechem. Each point on its own. At this point, the Gemara goes over the Drosh is just mentioned in this Brisa. We have a new geometric form, the house form, and we have an explanation in the outside margin under the Mivneh heading. You see a house form featured. Tzitutim, these are quotes, Meha Brisa, from the Tanaic source, Shidoreshes Apostle B'Minchas Omer, the Brisa that we just got finished learning. So if you scan down the page, you'll notice, in fact, four of these house markings, each one focusing on that section of the Brisa that was darshaned, that darshaned the Pasuk. After the Gemara quotes from the Brisa, we will be seeing a triangle marking, which we've explained on the outside margin, Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. Hatsa'os, with the triangle point facing up, those are Hatsa'os, Chilufios, alternative suggestions, the kushios and questions. So the point facing up in general in this particular piece of Gemara will be of a question nature. Either an alternative suggestion, like why not say this way, as we will see, and questions. With the point facing down, tshuvos, responses. Turning now to the Gemara. Omar mar, oleho shemen velo al lechem haponim shemen. We saw that the word oleh was darshaned from in the case of Minchas Omer to tell me it gets oil and not the lechem haponim. Well, Emo, why not say oleho shemen velo al minchas kohanim shemen? Why not exclude the minchas kohanim from requiring shemen? So we answer, notice the triangle flips over, mistabro minchas kohanim havle lirbuye. Logic would tell us that that minchas kohanim is to be included in requiring oil, like the omer. Shekein, because of the following. At this point, the Gemara presents a list of six items, 6 points, we'll call it in an abbreviated form, and it's upon us to explain what the meaning of each one of these points are. And the idea is that we are not going to exclude Minchas Kohanim like was suggested, because the Minchas Kohanim and the Omer have 6 points in common. In other words, they are so like one another, I wouldn't exclude the Minchas Kohanim from the Omer. I wouldn't say it's different and say that the Minchas Kohanim should not be like the Omer. If anything, the Minchas Kohanim, being that it has 6 points in common with the Omer, it will be included in the oil requirement just like the Minchas Omer. So now, let's see what are these things. And it might be worth noting that when we say these 6 points are in common, what we're saying is that the Minchas Kohanim and the Omer have these 6 points in common, to the exclusion of the Lechem Aponim that don't have these points. So the first one, number one, Isoron. The Minchas Kohanim and the Omer both have the same measure. The name of the measure, the amount, is an Isoron. Number two, Kli. They both have Kli in common. The Rashi, second line for before it gets wide, says Kli Kol Haminochas Tunos Kli Lolush. The Perek Shtei Lechem Sholos Rebbe Zuminayim V'chulei. All Menochas have a need for a vessel in which the Mincha, the meal offering, is needed. Avol Rashi says Lechem Haponim Eino Nikdash Ela B'Tanur. The sanctification of the Lechem Haponim, contrary to other menachas, its sanctification was achieved in its baking in the oven, so that other menachas were kneaded in vessels and sanctified thereby in the vessel in which they were kneaded. That gave them their high level of kedusha, which is not the case with the Lechem Haponim, which gained its kedusha in the baking, of course, a much later stage. Number three, chutz. The Rashi explains that all menachas were prepared, bachutz means not in the hechal, rather in the azora. But the lechem aponim, it was set up in the hechal, in the enclosed part of the Beis HaMikdash. So that minchas ha'omer and minchas kohanim have chutz in common with one another, to the exclusion of the lechem haponim. Number four, tzura. Tzura is, Rashi explains, is a reference to a halacha known as nifsal balina. That means that if they are left overnight, they become invalid. The standard menachas, including the minchas kohanim, minchas omer, those are to be eaten the day that they are brought, and you have the following night. Beyond that, it becomes invalid. This is not the case with the lechem aponim, which stood on the table, on the shulchan, an entire week. Number five, Hagosha. Hagosha is the process or the stage where a mincha was brought to the corner of the mizbeach. This is true by most menachas. However, Lechem Haponim does not require Hagosha. And number six, Ishim. All menachas, almost all menachas, there is Ishim is fire. A part of the mincha itself was put on the fire. We call that often the kometz. In the case of the Minchas Kohanim, it's true that it wasn't Nikmats, but the entire Mincha was put in the fire. This is to the exclusion of the Lechem Aponim, none of the breads themselves were put in the fire. In the case of Lechem Aponim, there was Lavona that accompanied it, that was put in the fire, but the part of the Mincha itself was not put in the fire with regard to the Lechem Aponim. So we see 6 points that the Minchas Kohanim have in common with the Omer. So if you're going to suggest something should be excluded, meaning treated unlike the Omer, it's not going to be the Minchas Kohanim. And therefore, but what is excluded? So we said the Lechem Haponim is excluded. Now the Gemara responds, Adarava. You can see the triangle point is facing up. This indicates we're reinstating the question. Adarava, Lechem Haponim Havililibuye. The Gemara says, feel that the Lechem Haponim it should be included in requiring oil because of the following, and we'll see now a list of 6 items that the Lechem Aponim have in common with the Omer. And again, we should note, in common with the Omer, to the exclusion of the Minchas Kohanim, which, with regard to the following 6 points, the Minchas Kohanim does not have. Therefore, if you're looking for parallels, the Lechem Aponim is more closely related to the Omer than the Minchas Kohanim. So now, the 6 points that follow are those points that the Lechem Aponim has in common with the Omer. Number 1, Tzibura. It's a public offering. The Lechem Aponim and the Minchas Omer were public sacrifices, as opposed to the Minchas Kohanim, which is a private meal offering brought by a Kohen. Number 2, Choyva. The Minchas Omer and the Lechem Aponim are obligatory, which is not the case of the Minchas Kohanim. Tamya is Tumah. They both come in a state of Tumah. If the Omer and the Lechem Aponim happen to have become Tameh, they are nevertheless brought. And which is certainly not the case with regard to the Minchas Kohanim. A Korban Yochid is not Doche Tuma. These two public Korbanos are Doche Tuma. Number 4, De Ochil. They are eaten. Lechem Aponim and the Minchas Homer were eaten, as opposed to the Minchas Kohanim, which is put completely into the fire. Number 5, Pigula. Pigul is a phenomenon of a korban being offered with an incorrect mindset. For example, one while offering the mincha has in mind to eat the balance at the wrong time. That creates pigul. This phenomenon of pigul can happen only when you have the following situation, where part of it is offered and a balance is enjoyed or is eaten. In the case of the Minchas Kohanim, there's no pigul because the entire mincha is placed in the fire. There's no balance, there's no remnant remaining part that's eaten. So, in the case of the Minchas Omer, though, and the Lechem Aponim, pigul is shayach because the Minchas Omer and the Lechem Aponim both have a matir, an element of which is offered in order to enable the balance, the remainder, to be enjoyed. So that when that matir is offered with an incorrect mindset, pigul can be established, can be created, which is not the case by the Minchas Kohanim. And number 6, Bishavato. Both the Omer and the Lechem Aponim are Doiche Shabbos, which is they are brought on Shabbos. However, the Minchas Kohanim, certainly a private sacrifice, is not. So at this point, we're left with the feeling that, in fact, the Omer Pasuk is not going to exclude the Lechem Haponim from Shemen. And yet the Brisa said that, Oleh Hashem v'lo Alechem Haponim Shemen. So the Gemara says, and this is now, you can see the triangle flips over with the point facing down. This is an answer. Mistabro Nefesh. A very terse response. But if we look in Rashi, we have a little star in the Rashi to help find where we want to focus our attention. You see, toward the lower part of the wide lines, Mistabro Nefesh, L'rabois Minchas Kohanim Havalirbuye, Mipnei Shebe Mincha Ksiv Nefesh, L'madnu D'chol Minchas Yachid Teuno Shemen. Since the word Nefesh appears in the Torah, Nefesh meaning an individual person, This tells us that a minchas yochid requires oil. The minchas yochid, of course, is the mincha, in this case, that which is brought by the kohanim, and to the exclusion of the lechem aponim, which was a public sacrifice. We continue in the Gemara with another quote, Omar Mar, Oleha Levona, Velo al Minchas Nisachim Levona. Well, a more alternative suggestion, Oleha Levona, Velo al Minchas Kohanim Levona. Maybe the Minchas Kohanim should be excluded from Levona. So the Gemara responds, Mistabra Minchas Kohanim Havale Lirbuye. It's most likely the Minchas Kohanim shall be included to be like the Omer with regard to the Levona, Shekain. And here we have a list of things that the Minchas Kohanim has in common with the Minchas Omer, Isaron. They both come in that amount, the Isaron amount, as opposed to the Minchas Nesachim, which is a larger amount. Bolul, they are both bolul. Bolul means mixed. The Rashi points out the Minchas Kohanim is mixed, just like the mixed with oil, just like the Minchas Omer. Belug, with regard to all menachas, a lug is a liquid amount of oil is sufficient, which is not the case with regard to the Minchas Nesachim. Mugash, they both have a din of hagosha, and which is not the case of the Minchas Nesachim. Hagosha we described before as being brought to the corner of the Mizbeach. Biglal etzem. Etzem is a word like atzmom. It's a reference to korbanos that are brought on their own accord, as opposed to the Minchas Nesachim that's brought only because someone dedicated an animal offering. Adarabba, the Gemara says to the contrary, and you can see that we have, once again, our triangle is facing with its point facing upwards. Minchas Nesachim Havilei Lirbuye, we should include the Minchas Nesachim with regard to Levona to be like the Omer, Shekain, and now we have a list of points that they have in common. Tzibura, the Minchas Nesachim and the Minchas HaOmer are things that one can find on a public level, which is not the case of the Minchas Kohanim, which is purely private. Chova, the Minchas Nesachim and the Minchas HaOmer are obligatory, which is not the case by the Minchas HaOmer. The Itmi, they are both doche tuma b'shabata, and they are both doche Shabbos, as opposed to the Minchas Kohanim, which is not doche tuma nor Shabbos. So the Gemara finally answers that I'm nevertheless going to stay with what we said originally in the Brisa, that as far as Levona is concerned, I'm not going to exclude the Minchas Kohanim, but rather the Minchas Nesachim, because nefesh, as we saw before in the Rashi, the word nefesh appears in the context of a Minchas Soles, Rashi points out, which is a private korban, and therefore any private korban like the Minchas Kohanim will require Levona. So just like we saw before, the word nefesh was used in the context of oil, we see here nefesh is also used in the context of levona. And with that, we will include the Minchas Kohanim and not exclude it from levona. Mincha l'rabois minchas shmini l'levona. V'eimo l'hotzi. Why not say that the word mincha actually excludes the minchas shmini? The Gemara answers, "Hi, my. What are you talking about? How could you suggest that? E amris bishlamo l'rabois shapir. If you say that the word mincha is coming to include, that is shapir. That is fine. In other words, the Torah is with a word is doing something that on my own I would not have done. In other words, there's a chiddush in including the minchas shmini to be like the minchas haomer. Eloi amris lahotzi. But if you were to suggest that we are here to exclude the minchas shmini from Lavona, Lomali, what do I need to have a special word to teach me an exclusion of the minchas shmini? Shah midoros lo yalfinon. I wouldn't have, in the first place, attempted to learn something that was shah one time in history, like the minchas shmini, from something that's generational, as is the minchas haomer. I wouldn't have learned one from the other. In other words, if the point here is to tell me that Minchas Shmini should be unlike the Minchas Omer, I don't need a special word to tell me that. I would have understood that on my own because of the principle of Shah Midoros Lo Yalfina. We do not learn, we don't derive that which was momentary from that which is permanent. He Lahoitzi Shte Halechem Shelo Yitanu Loi Shemen Veloi Lavoina. The word he, in the context of the Minchas Omer, comes to exclude the Shtei HaLechem from, excluded from oil and Lavona. Question, V'eimo Lohoitzi Minchas Kohanim. We see that the Gemara is attempting time and time again to see to it that the Minchas Kohanim should be excluded. We did that before with regard to the oil. The first suggestion had been exclude Minchas Kohanim. We did this with regard to the Lavona. Let's try to exclude the Minchas Kohanim. And here a third time, let's come to exclude the Minchas Kohanim from Shemen and Lavona from using the word he. So Gemara says no. Mitstabra Minchas Kohanim Havli Buye. In all likelihood, Minchas Kohanim will be included and not the Shtei HaLechem, because of the following points that the Minchas Kohanim have in common with the Minchas Omer, to the exclusion of the Shtei HaLechem, wherein these points don't exist by the Shtei HaLechem. And they are as follows. Shekein, Isaron, the amount of the Omer and the amount of a Minchas Kohen is an Isaron. Kli, they are both sanctified in the kli, in the kli we saw before, that's used for the kneading, whereas the shtei halechem don't become sanctified in the kli, but rather in the oven in which they're baked. Matzah, the minchas haomer and minchas kohanim must be made without allowing it to ferment, without allowing it to be chometz. The shtei halechem were in fact chometz, so the shtei halechem are different in this sense, so that's another reason not to include the Shtei HaLechem, but rather to include the Minchas Kohanim. The Etzem, they come on their own. The Minchas Omer and the Minchas Kohanim come on their own, as opposed to the Shtei HaLechem, which come as a part of the Kivsei Atzeres. Hagosha, the Omer and the Minchas Kohanim both have a din of bringing it to the corner of the Mizbeach, which is not the case by the Shtei HaLechem. The Ishim, the Minchas Kohanim and the Omer both have parts of them which are put into the fire on the Mizbeach, which is not the case of the Shtei HaLechem. Adarabah, to the contrary, and you can see again our triangle points up, we want to say, if anything, we should say that the Shtei HaLechem are not to be excluded from the Lavona, but yes, exclude the Minchas Kohanim. Adarabah, Shtei HaLechem Havei Le'Lirbuyeh, Shekein. And again, we have a list of items that in this case, the Shtei HaLechem have in common with the Omer. Tzibor, they're both public. Choivo, they're both obligatory. Tamio, they both are dochetuma. De ochal, they're both eaten, as opposed to the minchas kehanim. Pigula, they both have an opportunity for pigul to set in, which is not the case by the minchas kehanim. Beshabata, they're both doche shabbos. Matir, when we say, by the way, doche shabbos, with regard to the shtei halechem, this is true provided they were baked the day before. But as far as the kivsei atzeres are concerned, with which the shtei halechem are brought, they are brought on Shabbos. Matir, they both matir things. What does that mean? The Omer on the 16th of Nisan, with its bringing the new grains that took root, that developed prior to the 16th of Nisan, become mutter. Prior to the Omer, it's forbidden to benefit from the new grains of that year. And the shtei alechem are matir, new grains with regard to the Beis HaMikdash. All menachas that one brings cannot be brought from the new grains until the shtei alechem are brought. So both the Omer and the shtei alechem are matirs. Tnufa, the Omer and the shtei alechem have a waving requirement. They're waved on the arms of the Kohen, as opposed to the Minchas Kohanim. Ba'aretz, there is a requirement that the grains used for the Omer and the Shtei Alechem can be brought only from Israel grains. That means grains that grew in the land of Israel, as opposed to all other menachos can be brought from imports. And we say all other menachos, including the Minchas Kohanim. Bizman, the Omer and the Shtei Alechem have fixed calendar dates. Pesach for the Omer and Shavuos for the Shtei Alechem, as opposed to Minchas Kohanim. Chodosh, the Omer and the Shtei Alechem come from the new grains. And we see 11 points that the Shtei Alechem have in common with the Omer. Vahani Nefishon, in fact, these are more. 11 is a greater number of points in common than the number of points in common that existed between the Minchas Kohanim and the Omer. With regard to that, we numbered up till only 6 points in common. So if anything, if we have a word to darshan, the word he, to exclude something, it doesn't seem likely that if you're learning about the Minchas HaOmer that I would want to exclude the Shtei Alechem when they have 11 points in common. The Gemara responds, after all, Mistabra, Nefesh. Nevertheless, the word Nefesh appears in the context of Lavona and oil, and that means that when you have a private korban, as is the case with the Minchas Kohanim, there is an expectation for Lavona and Shemen to be brought. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new Mishnah, the Nosei, the topic heading that accompanies this section, in the outside margin, Isur Shemen Ulavona B'Minchas Chote. We're now going to feature the sin offering, meal offering, the Minchas Chote. There's a prohibition of adding oil and Lavona spice to it. We also have noted Shemen Posel, Lavona Eina Poselis. Oil, if added to the Minchas Chote, will ruin it. Lavona, if added to it, will not ruin it. Now the Mishnah. V'chayov al Hashemen bifnei atzmo, v'chayov al Lavona bifnei atzmo. One who adds oil and Lavona to a Minchas Chote will be in violation of two violations. That's what the Mishnah is telling us when it says Shemen Bifnei Atzmo. The adding of the oil is a violation in and of itself. And the Lavona is a separate violation. Even though the Torah, it teaches that one should not add Shemen and Lavona, one should not get the impression that it's a singular offense. Each material represents a separate offense. Nosan Oleha, one, let us say one placed on the Minchas Chote Shemen Pasla, that ruins the korban, that ruins the meal offering. Levona Yelaktena, if he added the Levona spice, that's a dry granular substance, collect it, gather it, take it off. In other words, you add it to it, now remove it, which is not the case in oil. Oil is a liquid, it gets absorbed into the flour. Nosan Shemen al Shioreho Eino Over Belosase. After the Minchas Chote is its komets, its handful is put on the Mizbeach, the balance is called the Shirayim. That which remains after the handful of flour was offered, the balance is eaten by the Kohanim, and with regard to the balance, the addition of oil to the balance of flour does not constitute a violation of the negative command. Nosan kli al gabi kli. Let's say someone took a flask containing oil and put it on top of the minchas chote, the flour of the minchas chote, which was in its vessel. That's putting one vessel on top of the other. Lo posla. That does not ruin the minchas chote. Tanur Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that elaborates on these points. Lo yosim oleho. Lo yosim oleho shemen. The Torah instructs us not to put shemen on the minchas chote. V'im som, if one did place it, posal, he ruins it. Yochol, should one think that when the pasuk says lo yitein oleho levona v'im nosan posal, that when the Torah warns against putting levona on it, and if one did, that would likewise ruin the minchas chote? Talmud lomar, ki chatos. The pasuk says Kichatos, which indicates that even if he did put Lavona on it, the Torah nevertheless refers to this meal offering as a chatos, and it still has atonement power. So, in simple terms, the adding of the Lavona does not ruin it, like is the case with the Shemen. Yochol af b'shemen. Should we say the same thing with regard to the oil, that by, just like we said by the Lavona, chatos he, it's ki chatos, it's called chatos, so too, if you add the oil, it's called chatos and still has kapora, has atonement powers. Talmud lomar, he. Therefore, the pasuk uses the word he, which is an exclusionary point, meaning that if you add oil, it does not have atonement capacity because it thereby ruins it. The Brisa asks, Uma Royis Livsol B'Shemen L'Hachshir B'Lavona, what is it that you see that to say that Shemen ruins it, oil ruins it, and Lavona does not ruin it? Answer, Posil Ani B'Shemen She'i'ef Shalalakto, I render the korban invalid with the addition of oil, being that once it's added, it can't be retracted, it can't be gathered up. But I consider the meal offering, the sinner's meal offering, still kosher in the case of Lavona, because that's a substance that can be gathered and collected and removed. Before we go on in the Gemara, let's take a glance at the outside margin. We have a topic heading. Nosan Lavona Shchuka al Minchas Chote. Ha'in ze posel. One put ground up Lavona, where it's now in a powder form, if you will, and he placed that on the Minchas Chote. Does that ruin it? There are two aspects. One, eino nivlas. It may be powdery, but it's nevertheless not absorbed into the flour, benigud l'shemen, which is in contrast to oil. Oil gets absorbed into the flour. Aval, on the other hand though, since you pulverized the lavona and made it into a powder form, e efshe lelokta, nevertheless it cannot be gathered. Let's turn to the Gemara. Bo Rava, Rabo Bar Rav Huna, may Rabbi Yochanan. Rabo Bar Rav Huna asks of Rabbi Yochanan, Nosan oleho lavona shchuka ma, one placed on the minchas chote, pulverized lavona. Now, two sides of the question, and we, in our markings, often present this as Aleph, Oy Dilma. Oy Dilma is an expression indicating, or maybe, possibly the other side, and that's, we try to squiggle underline that expression when it appears, and you can see here at the end of this next line, the O Dilma, and then Beis, the second side of the question. So here it goes. Mishum de efshir lelakta, v'holo efshir lelakta. Do we say that in general, Lavona does not ruin the Minchas Chote because it's possible to gather it and remove it from the flower of the Minchas Chote, but in this case, you cannot gather it. It's a powder form. And therefore, it would, the Lavona Shuka would ruin the Minchas Chote. Oidoma, mishum de lo mivla, v'ha nami lo mivla. Or do we say that the kashrus of a minchas chote, even if lavona is added, is based on the fact that it's not absorbed into the flour? And in this case, likewise, it may be powdery, the lavona, but it's nevertheless not absorbed into the flour. We've used a triangle in the next number of lines of the Gemara, the triangle with a varying direction to indicate our attempt to keep track of the discussion. In the outside margin, you see we have a Mivneh heading with a triangle featured, and in parentheses we've indicated Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the flow of the Gemara. So with the point facing upward, Nisyonos Lifshot She'ela Hanal, these will be attempts to answer the above question, the question of the Lavona Shchuka. With the triangle facing point facing downwards, those are Dechios, those will be rejections. So we turn to the Gemara, Toshma Ulavona Yelaktena. The Mishnah seems to place a premium on the ability to collect, to gather the Lavona and remove it from the Minchas Chote, and if it's therefore shechuka, if it's powdered, pulverized, so you won't be able to do it. And then, therefore, we would try to, we would use this citation to say that the Minchas, the Lavona Shechuka will ruin. The Gemara says, no, Dilma Chadoviod Komar. Maybe what the Mishnah says, Yelaktena, is really one of two aspects. We'll say the Mishnah is abbreviated. And we should understand it as follows. Chado de lo mivla. First of all, Lavona, when added to the Minchas Chote, doesn't ruin it because Lavona is not absorbed into the flour. Ve'od yelaktena. And furthermore, in general, you're able to gather it together. Gather it and remove it. So that in the case that it happens to be powdered, it's true you won't be able to gather it up, but nevertheless, it still remains lo mivla. It still remains in a situation where it, or in a state where it's not absorbed. So that, and as Rashi says, the ikur consideration is that it's the absorption aspect. And if it doesn't get absorbed, then it remains kosher. The Gemara goes on. Toshma. Machshir ani bilavona she'efshir lelokta. We saw this in the Brisa above, and if anyone has trouble finding where this quote comes from, we have a little star provided to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. And in the Brisa it said, I machshir a minchas chote with lavona that's added because you can gather it together. The Gemara responds that that's, once again, just like we saw in the Mishnah, that is not the whole story. Ha-ha, nami, chada v'od ko'omar. The Braisa also is in this chada v'od format. Namely, one point, which is not stated here, is that the Lavona is not absorbed. And furthermore, it's something that you can gather up. But if for some reason, like our case, where it's powdered and you can't gather it and remove it, nevertheless, it's not absorbed. And the main point is that it's not absorbed. And that's the main point for the for saying that it's kosher. Well, my havi'alah. So what's the din? What's the way to go? How are we to rule concerning Lavona Shchuka? Amrav Nachum by Yitzhak, Tanya. So he cites a Tanaic source, and you'll notice we have our triangle point facing up, and as we indicated before, this is an answer to the question of Lavona Shchuka. The source begins, Minchas Chote uMinchas Knos. The sin offering, the sin meal offering, and the sota, the minchas knos, is the married woman who is suspected of immorality. She brings a special meal offering called the minchas knos, shenosan ala lavona, upon which lavona was placed, malaket es halavona ukshera. Remove the lavona, and it becomes kosher. V'im ad shelo liket, lavona so chishev aleo. If prior to the removal of lavona, In other words, you have your minchas chotev, for example, with the lavona still on it, and then chishev oleha, and then let's say he removed the handful, the kometz, while having in mind an incorrect mindset. Chishev oleha, bein chutz lizmano, bein chutz lemkomo, posel v'ein bo kores. In the case of chutz lizmano, we find in sacrifices in general the potential of kores setting in. But that's not going to be the case here, because kores sets in only when there's no other psul, when there's no other deficiency other than the mindset issue. In this case, there is an additional deficiency, and namely the presence of the lavona. However, im mishalike lavonosa mechashiv oleo, if he removed the lavona which was improperly added, he now removed it from the minchas chote, and now processes the minchas chote with an incorrect mindset, is now mechashiv oleo chutz lizmano posvei mekores. Let's read that again. Chutzlim komo, if he has an incorrect place mindset. Place never creates pigul, it creates psul. It becomes invalid, but no kores penalty for eating it. Chutz lizmano, if one after lavona had a wrong time mindset, pigul v'chayovim olav kores. What we see from this source is that the acceptability of the minchas chote is totally dependent on the lakita possibility, and therefore, in the case of the lavona shchuka, that will in fact ruin it, because I won't be able to restore its kashrus level through lakita. At this point, the Gemara asks we'll call this a new question. However, it's a question on the source that we just learned. The source had mentioned that if the lavona has not been gathered yet, it was placed on the minchas chote, and prior to its removal, he had an incorrect mindset. The source said that the minchas chote will become ruined, even though it doesn't become pigul, but it does become ruined. The Gemara wants to know, why is it that any mindset has an effect on this minchas chote? After all, you told us that while the lavona is on it, it's an unacceptable minchas chote. So if it's an unacceptable mincha, then incorrect mindsets should be of no consequence. When we talk about an incorrect mindset as ruining something, that's when you're dealing with that which otherwise would be a kosher sacrifice. Here, you're dealing with something that otherwise it's not a kosher sacrifice. It has the lavona on it. Let us look at this point as we've presented it under our Noseh heading. Muva b'braisa, it was presented in the braisa, de minchas chote she samu aleha lavona, upon which was placed the lavona spice, im ad shelo likta me aleha, if prior to your removing the lavona from it, choshav machshava psula posla, if someone thought an incorrect thought, it ruins the mincha. Hagemora she'elis lomo machshava tefeses klal, why should machshava take hold at all? V'lehevei dichui, why not view the mincha with the lavona, this minchas chote with the lavona on it, as being in a state of dichui. Dichui literally means pushed away. In this case, we could say that if we were to use sports terminology, it's in a foul zone. It's outside the realm. It's pushed out of the realm of acceptable korbonos. So let's read this now in the Gemara. Ve'amai poslo machshava. We have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you parallel this with the arrow just a few lines up, you'll see it's at that point that the Brisa had mentioned this idea that if he has not yet removed the Lavona, the machshava would create psul. So we're asking, why is there psul created? Ve'teheve hach. Pach dihuihu. Why not simply view this vessel containing the sinner's meal offering and the lavona as being pushed out of bounds? And kolzman, it's in the state of dihui. It should be such that machshava cannot have an effect on it. To this, we have three responses. We've noted this. And in our Mivneh heading, the volcano form appears. Tshuvos l'sheva hanal. These are answers to this particular question. Why is it that machshava is chal, is toifes, takes hold on something that is currently not acceptable to begin with? Abaye Omar, chatos karya rachmona. Even when Lulavona is on it, we saw this expression before, the Torah calls it a chatos. In other words, the Torah is, through Gezeras HaKosov, is viewing it as still a kosher kind of sacrifice. And since the Torah is calling it chatos, it is something that Machshava can take hold of, can have an effect on. Rava, number two, Omar, ha money. Hanan Hamitzrihi, this Tanaic source that said that even though it's in a state of that which appears to be unacceptable, Machshava could take hold, this is in accordance with the Tana Hanan Hamitzri, the less lay dichuyin. Hanan Hamitzri is someone that doesn't have in his understanding of sacrifices this concept of dichuy. And the Gemara now gives the background to Hanan Hamitzri's Shita, Desnan, Desanya. We have a Tanaic source in the context of the Yom Kippur sacrifices. On Yom Kippur, in the Beis HaMikdash, there were two goats that were brought. One, it was called a Soyer Lashem, and the other was a Soyer Lazozel. These are two goats that initially, lots were drawn in order to determine which one would be Lashem, which one would be slaughtered and sacrificed in the Beis HaMikdash, and which one would be sent out to a cliff outside of Yerushalayim and carry the sins of Israel, affording public atonement. That's the Soyer Lazozel. What would happen if, after the lots are drawn and you slaughtered the Soyer Lashem, and before they had a chance to send out the Soyer Lazozel for its trip to the cliff, the animal died? Hanan HaMitzri, let's now read this in the Gemara. Hanan HaMitzri Omer, afilu dam bekois. Even if the Soyer Lashem was slaughtered, and the blood is in the vessel in anticipation of its being sprinkled on the Mizbeach, and the Soyer Lazozel died, Mevi Chavero Shelo Bahagrola, you bring a replacement Soyer, a replacement goat, without any need for additional lots being drawn, Umezave Glo, and it will constitute the pair, its mate, so to speak. It will be the replacement mate goat. What do we see from here? We see that Hanan HaMitzri doesn't view the blood in the kois, the blood in the vessel of the Soyer Lashem, as being cast away. As opposed to those that disagree with Hanan HaMitzri, they will tell you that if the Soyer Lazozel dies, that its death will constitute a ruination of the blood of the Soyer Lashem. In other words, something went wrong, saying it in a simplistic way, something went wrong. So they, the others, will say, well, everything stops, it's ruined, it's dochui, it's cast away, and you have to start all over again. Hanan HaMitzri, though, doesn't say that. He says, even though the Soyer La'azazel died, the Soyer, the dam of the Soyer L'Hashem is not Dochui. And that's what we meant before when we said that Chanamitzri does not hold from Dichuyin. Rav Ashi Omar, Kol Shebiyodoi Lohavi Dichuy. Rav Ashi says that this Tanaic source above with the Lavona in it is not limited to Chanan HaMitzri. The Lavona source with the Minchas Chote is according to the Rabbonin also. What are we saying? We're saying as follows, that even if you do hold in the case, for example, of if you hold that there is Dichui, as is the case, or as might be your opinion with regard to the Yom Kippur, you may disagree with Chanan HaMitzri in the case of the Soyer dying and hold that the blood of the Soyer Hashem must be spilled out. Nevertheless, you will not say that the Minchas Chote with the Lavona on it is considered Dochui. Why? The answer to that is that which we just read. Kol Shebiyodo Lo Havi Dochui. Since it's in your power to solve the problem, even if the problem is there, it's not considered a problem. That is, and such is the case with the sin offering, the sin meal offering, the minchas chote that has the lavona on it. At any time you wish, you can remove the lavona. So it's in your power to remove it. Since it's in your power to remove it, even if you haven't removed it, the machshava is chal, as if it were removed. Omarav Ado, Kavosid of Ashi Mistabra, we're about to embark on a long point. We have a long point marking. You can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara a little nun that appears encircled with a vertical dashed line that descends from this nun, indicating a long point. So, and this is Rav Ado's point. He says, Kavosid of Ashi Mistabra. Rav Ashi's approach is most likely. Deman Shamis Le Dichuyin. Who is it that we know holds from the concept of Dochui? Rav Yehuda he. Rav Yehuda holds from Dochui, that things are cast away. Things can be rendered invalid. Disnan, we have a Tanaic source in which Rav Yehuda says this. The Odom Rav Yehuda, Nishba Chadam Yomus HaMishtaleach. Meis hamishtaleach yishpoch adam. This is exactly the case we featured before. There are two scenarios here. One is where the blood of the Soyer L'Hashem spilled out, and the Soyer L'Azazel remained alive. So he says, well, if the blood spills out, then the Soyer mishtaleach that you have is useless. So it shall be put off. It shall be cast aside and left to die. In other words, not used in the Yom Kippur service. And the second case, Meis HaMishtaleach, this is the case we referred to before, where the Soyer L'Azazel died, while you have the blood in the blood of the Soyer L'Hashem waiting there for sprinkling. Rabbi Yehuda himself says, Yishpoch Adam, the blood becomes rendered useless. That's a function of Dichui. V'ilu Hecha D'biyodoi, however, when something is in your power to rectify, Tanya, we have Rebbe Yehuda saying that it doesn't become ruined. And the following source is a source dealing with the day that the Korban Pesach was sacrificed in the Beis HaMikdash. On that day, we find the Gemara describing that there were myriads of Korbanos Pesach. There is a fear that in the course of those hundreds of thousands and sometimes millions of Korban Pesach being brought, that the blood of one of those Korban Pesachs, after being received in its receiving vessel, never made it to the Mizbeach for sprinkling and spilled out on the floor. So Rabbi Yehuda says, if because of this concern, because of this fear, there was a contingency act that took place. They would gather together a cup of blood from the floor, being that the assumption is that they were received initially in vessels, and simply from the vessel it spilled out onto the floor. Rabbi Yehuda says, a cup of blood, a symbolic cup of blood, was gathered from the floor and sprinkled on the Mizbeach to represent, to cover the blood that may have spilled out. Tanya, the source says, let's read the last couple words again. Viluhecha de biyado, where something is in potential in your power to control. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, koisoy mamale midam hataruvos, a cup of blood was gathered from all the mixed bloods on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. Vizarku zrika achas keneged hayesoid, and there was a singular sprinkling of the blood above a point at which there was the mizbeach base was located. The mizbeach had a base running around most of the sides of the mizbeach. One part of the mizbeach did not have a base. So the source is saying that the blood sprinkling should be over a part of the mizbeach that had the base. So what do we see over here? Rashi explains at the bottom line. He says, "Alma kevan de biyado lelokto," since it's in his power to gather together the blood that may have spilled out. Lo have dichui, the korban pesachs are not considered rendered invalid because of this suspicion that maybe one of the bloods spilled out. So we say that even in the case that one of the bloods spilled out, nevertheless, it's within their power. It's biyodo. It's within their power to gather together the blood that spilled out and sprinkle it on the mizbeach. So we see, like Ravashi, that even if you hold that something is dochui, can become dochui, can be rendered out of bounds or invalid, nevertheless, when you're dealing with a situation that it's within your power to rectify the situation, it's not considered dochui. And that's why, in the case above, with the minchas chote having the lavona on it, machshava can set in, and the argument that it should be considered dochui, and therefore and thereby impervious to an invalid mindset, contention falls away. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new discussion. We have a Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin, in which we feature the double underline and Roman numerals number 1 and 2. So if you glance back in the Gemara, you will notice these double underlines appearing with the Roman numerals. The Roman numeral number 2 will appear on Daf Samach Omer Aleph. So these represent Shtein Lishonos B'divrei Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Yosef from Rabbi Yochanan. Benesinas, there were two versions of Rabbi Yitzchok's comment in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Benesinas mashehu shemen al gabi kezayis mincha. The topic dealt with here will be a minuscular amount of oil placed on a kezayis, an olive quantity of mincha. There will be another point under Roman numeral number 1 where we call a second case. There's cases 1 and 2 within the Roman numeral number 1 heading, where we switch around the factors, and that will be a case of kezayis lavona, an olive quantity of lavona, al gabi mashehu mincha. What will the din be then? So now, turning to the Gemara. On Rabbi Yitzchok bar Yosef, on Rabbi Yochanan, nosan mashehu shemen al gabi kezayis mincha posal. If a person placed a minor amount of oil on an olive quantity of mincha, that will ruin it. My taima. How does he know this? What's his reasoning? Lo yosim. The posuk said lo yosim olal shemen, which means sima koldehu. Oleha, the word oleha that appeared, is ad de'ika shi'ura. The word oleha indicates that there has to be a minimum required amount, shi'ura. In this case, the shi'ur is a kezayis, so that the lo yosim expression conveys the idea of mashu, and oleha means there must be a minimum required amount, namely a kezayis. The Omer of Yisrael bar Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan, a second comment of his, Nosan kezayis levona agabi mashehu mincha posal. Here, the factors are switched around. A kezayis, an olive quantity of levona, was placed on a mashehu of mincha. That ruins it. Now, the pasuk itself said oleha, which we said a moment before indicated that a minimum amount is required. Here, we seem to be waiving that and still having psul. My taima. What's the reason? So the Gemara answers, lo yitain ksiv ad de'ika nesina. So the lo yitain, here we have the kezias of Lavona, because the pasuk said in the context of Lavona, it said lo yitain ala Lavona. I see that when you're dealing with Lavona, you have to have a kezias quantity. As far as the mincha is concerned, even if it's a mashu mincha, it is puzzle. This, by the way, as we mentioned a moment before, is different than halacha number one. In the case of halacha number one, there seemed to be an insistence on a kezias of mincha. Here we're saying, even if you have a mashu of mincha. So, how do we get to that? Aleha. So, in the pasuk, we saw the word aleha, which actually is the second time we have the word aleha in that pasuk. This pasuk was quoted above in the Gemara. We saw this in the Brisa from Vayikra He. If you look at the upper part of the page, there was the quote from Vayikra He, Lo Yosim Aleha Shemen, and Lo Yitein Aleha Levona. So the word Aleha had appeared twice in the pasuk. Have Ribui Acha Ribui. The word Aleha, as we indicated before, with regard to the Shemen, we said it meant a Kezias. Now, then you say again, the word aleha, which sounds like, again, a requirement of a kezias. That's a ribui, and then again a ribui. And there's a Talmudic rule, v'ein ribui acha ribui elo lema'et. When you have a double inclusionary or expansion expression, it actually does the opposite. It serves to minimize. So we have the double aleha, each time requiring a kezias, in effect reducing it to even a mashu. The Ika of the Amri. Now, this is a second presentation of Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Yosef. The Ika of the Amri, Om Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Yosef, Boi Rabbi Yochanan. Here, he's not stating in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, but he is reporting that Rabbi Yochanan asked, Nosan Mashu Shemen Al Gabi Kezias Min Chomahu. You'll notice that the Mashu here is associated with Shemen, just like in Roman numeral number 1, case 1, the mashu was with the shemen, and he is placing the mashu shemen on a kezias of mincha mahu. Mi bo'inon sima kenesina. Does the sima, which is the word sima, was a word associated with the oil, is oil treated the same way as we do nesina with regard to Lavona? And in the case of Lavona, the word nosan indicates a kezias. So do we require a kezias, specifically kezias of oil? Oi loy. Or do maybe we don't say that sima is like nesina. It may be true that nesina is associated with a kezias, but sima is not. Teku. So this remains unresolved. And with that, we conclude our shiur for today.